Welcome to the Two Man Game. I'm your host, Lennon Holland, and with me, as always, my co-host, Xavier Rocha. How you doing, Roach?
Doing pretty good, Dando. Ready to talk about some basketball today.
Yes, sir. Let's start off by talking about somebody who's moved up the MVP ladder a lot in this last week and after All-Star break. Ja Morant. He had two historic nights this last week, and he just keeps showing the league why he's like one of the most fascinating players to watch. And as his young career moves forward, it's just so fun to see the Memphis fans and their love for his game. Last game, which was on the 28th of February, which was a couple nights ago, he put up 52 points against the Spurs, and two nights before that, he put up 46, and he is a huge reason why Memphis is closing in on Golden State for the second seed in the West. Just talk to me about his performances this last week and just how special this kid is.
I mean, you talk about the 52-point performance against the Spurs, and like he was being guarded by an all-NBA-type defender in DeJounte Murray that whole game. So the fact that he was able to put up those stats while also shooting 73% from the field is just crazy. And like I saw stuff about like how Joel Embiid's putting up like 40 or like 30 to 40 points with like 20 free throw attempts, and Ja Morant's doing 52 with like six free throw attempts. So it's like just kind of crazy how like his shot making ability is like out of this world for being so small and having to like go up against bigger centers in the lane. And his acrobatic ability is just also crazy. Like you saw like the buzzer beater at halftime to like catch that midair and then also just hoist it up so quickly and put that in. Like, that is just such a crazy play. And what a throw from Steven Adams. Adams is like one of the best long pass inbounders in the NBA.
Yeah, Adams is a perfect fit alongside Ja. And Ja's just an automatic highlight reel every night. Like, that game he had that dunk on Jakob Poeltl, and then he had that three from like 40 feet out, and then also that shot you're talking about. He just has so many plays that gets those fans going, and Memphis is going to be a great place for a Western Conference Finals series, hopefully, if Memphis can get there. But just going off of what you said with the free throw attempts, he only shot 7 in that game. But he also shot 4 threes and made all 4 threes, which is insane because the way he plays is like he's a slasher first and he gets to the rim at ease and he's a great finisher. But then if he's able to take his 3-point percentage to around like 35% and like consistently knock down his threes, which he's shown he can do, like he's not scared to shoot threes, which is definitely like going to help him in the long run, because if players respect his 3-point shot, it's going to be even easier for him to get to the rim. So I think if he can keep improving that part of his game, it's just going to be a whole lot scarier for the rest of the league.
Yeah, and his mold's kind of like a Derrick Rose and like Russell Westbrook mold, where he uses like his athletic ability to attack the rim and then also just make plays. And like those two, like Russell Westbrook won his MVP on his best shooting year from three statistically. And you see that from Ja, this has been his best shooting year in his young career so far, but shooting the ball this well has helped him get more open looks at the rim because they have to respect him and just opens up the floor more for himself. And I feel like that's one thing that helped Russ in his MVP season, was that he was shooting 34% from three, which means that they have to also like respect that. And now it's been difficult for us because he's not able to shoot So as long as Ja can kind of keep being able to shoot the ball as well as he has, he's going to be a problem for a long time.
Yeah. I saw something a couple days ago that had like Ja at the top of the MVP ladder. I think a lot of the media has overreacted to these last couple games personally. Like, I think he's like top five, but I wouldn't put him at the top yet. Do you think this week has like moved him up that much, or do you think he's still around like the four spot or something like that?
Yeah, I would have to say he's still five. I don't put him ahead of DeMar yet, and definitely not Embiid, Jokic, or Giannis. But I mean, the fact that they're winning games is also just helping his case more, because that's one of like the bigger things that voters look into is your team winning games.
Yeah. I still don't think the supporting cast around Ja gets enough credit in Memphis. Like, with Desmond Bain, Steven Adams.
Are they 11-2 without him or something like that?
That's when they turned their season around, when he
first got hurt,
and then their defense really picked up, because that first like month of the season they were like the worst defensive team in the league or something. But
yeah, and yeah. I feel like Ja's kind of bought into being a better defender and like getting in the passing lanes and stuff too.
Yeah.
And obviously the emergence of Desmond Bane just also helps him so much, because having that, I mean, just pure shooter next to you in the two spots, just great. And then Jaren Jackson Jr.'s ability to stretch the floor too.
Yeah, and like, we can't forget about Dylan Brooks, who's like one of the friskiest defenders in the league, and a capable scorer that will be here before we know it. And I think that will help them a lot too.
Yeah, that starting lineup's nasty. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, because Bane and Brooks defending the wings is just a nightmare.
Yeah, this team could definitely make a finals run. And it's crazy to say that when their core is like mostly under 25.
Do you believe in like the non-playoff experience getting like the best of young teams, or do you think that's kind of like a fluke?
No, I think the best teams win. I don't think age really matters that much, but I think most of the time, like, guys in their prime are better players. So like the more experienced teams usually do win, but some guys like Ja Morant enter their primes at a younger age, so. And then like Desmond Bain, he's like a 24-year-old second year player. Like, he's not super, super young. And then Steven Adams is a vet by now, and they have some experience too. Dylan Brooks is probably like 27. So.
And they got a taste of the playoffs last year. So I mean,
yeah. And I think I'm never worried about Ja like not being ready for the moment. He's shown in every big game that he's going to show up.
For sure. He's one of a kind right now. I mean, and then you look into the mold, like Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook, who have won MVPs. Like, Ja's on the trajectory to win one. And AI even tweeted at him, like, "You're next," or something like that, with like a picture of his MVP trophy.
Yeah, it could happen very soon for Ja. Hopefully a finals MVP too is in his
future. You think that Westbrook and Derrick Rose are like consensus two most athletic guards ever?
Yeah, and then I would like, throw,
do you think Ja's already there with them too?
I think Ja's,
or even like above them,
like on a level above them, and then I'd throw John Wall in like the same tier as Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like when John Wall was in his prime. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
So you think Ja's like already like a tier above them in like athleticism? Because like that's crazy.
I think that like Rose is probably like very similar levels, but I think Ja is like willing to try and like he does not care.
Which is
I get scared because I feel like he just throws his body out there like on the line all the time. Like that dunk on Jakob Poeltl two nights ago. Like
it didn't look like it was possible for him to dunk that ball.
It's crazy like that he just did that. Like if anything, something could go wrong if he like lands wrong or something. I just don't know how he throws his body like that and is going to stay healthy in this league for a long time. So that's honestly my biggest concern with his game is just the risk factor and the way he plays. And I really hope that he can stay healthy and have like a long prime and doesn't get hurt like Derrick Rose.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one of the biggest concerns is injury, just because like you said, he is so willing to do like anything to have a highlight play. And I mean, he's successful most of the time, but like, I feel like one of these times is just gonna not end well and it's gonna be ugly.
Yeah. But we gotta hope for the best, so.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Alright, so I wanted to touch on, I feel like we gotta give Miami some love again on this podcast, just cause the media attention is not there for them and they continue to sit at the top of the Eastern Conference.
And that's something I feel like the Heat want, is just to be under the radar.
Yeah, that's true, but I want to give them some love. And
all right.
Today I just want to ask you about their best defender and Bam Adebayo. And Eric Spoelstra said that there's not many guys in this league that can do what Bam does. Draymond Green, and the list probably stops there. So I wanted to ask you, like, everybody knows how special of a defender Bam Adebayo is, but this year he hasn't been getting, like, much buzz when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year. Like, what do you think keeps Bam from, like, being on those in those conversations, and, like, why do you think his name doesn't get brought up a bunch when we talk about, like, the best defenders in the league and just like one of the best players like in the league?
I mean, I feel like he definitely is in like that Draymond Green type mold. I feel like Eric Spoelstra was right on, because like Bam does the dirty work like Draymond does, and he helps play make like Draymond does. So like that's like, I feel like that's like almost the perfect comparison there. But on why he doesn't get love for like Giannis does or Gobert or whatever, like, I honestly don't know, because Draymond does get the love, and maybe that's just because, like, he's had success in his career. And, like, Bam's still young, and maybe hasn't, like, in their finals run, he was hurt during the finals, and maybe, like, I don't know, like, the media didn't, like, get a sense of what, like, or how much he meant to the team. Because, I mean, they still did take two games from the Lakers in that series with, I feel like, was Bam missing those two games? I feel like he was.
I don't remember for sure, but he missed a good amount of games, I think.
And then it's just like, he's also had like a lot of, he's missed like 18 games this season, I think. So, I mean, it's just like his ability to not stay healthy and like key stretches for the team. Maybe that's why like the media takes focus off of him, but I don't know why they do, because his switchability's really unmatched. Being at 6'9", he can really guard 1 through 5, and he's just like so strong, and it's hard to move like in the paint, even for like bigger centers, just because he's so like his ability to just like stay flat footed and like hold bigs out of the paint is just super good.
Yeah, he's like a solid rim protector too, which Draymond is like a decent rim protector, but Bam's like athleticism and his extra height that Draymond doesn't have like provides him a little more ability when it comes to protecting the rim. And then he's not like to the level of Draymond when it comes to like knowing how to play off ball. Like Draymond's just a master with like getting the team in the right spots and stuff, but like Bam's definitely on track to become the type of defender Draymond is, like, which is one of the best defenders of all time. I think Bam can be one of the top defenders ever with his ability and like the way he's proven to defend in his young career already. So I think if he can like take Draymond's like game and study it and like really try to figure out like how he can like run a defense like Draymond can, I think he can be like a multiple time defensive player of the year. And I think that it could happen pretty soon.
I feel like he should already be like thrown into the like conversation this year, but he isn't. Because like, I mean, who do you have win?
Like over 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd probably have to go with Giannis, and then, I mean, people are going to throw Gobert's name in there, but I'm not in love with that pick. I'm actually going to look up Defensive Player of the Year standings.
Exactly what I went to.
Just to get a feel for who they have. I know Mikal Bridges has gotten some love, which is understandable. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. should get some love with Memphis's rise on defense, and he's
Jared Allen. He's really Jared Allen's just like the backbone of that.
He can't win that because he might not even be the best defender on that team. I think Mobley's right there with him. Yeah, I think I'd probably have to take Giannis, and then maybe Bridges.
They have Joel up there and the one I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Philly's defense, I know they've been good, I just didn't think they were like a top. Because I feel like the top like defensive player of the year award usually goes to like a top five defense. I don't know if Philly's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the Heat are one, aren't they?
Yes, I believe so.
And then Memphis is like two, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that could get in this conversation, like with Jaren Jackson.
I just want to guard to win it sometime soon.
I know. That's why I like Mikal for the award, just because he's not a guard, but it seems like we always.
I mean, he's a wing. That's like when Kawhi won.
Yeah, it seems like we're always getting bigs that win it.
But no, I mean, it is confusing why Bam doesn't get the recognition, or like even why the Heat don't get recognition for like being this good. Like you see like the Bulls get love for winning games when Caruso and Lonzo are out, or the Sixers getting love because they didn't have Simmons all year. But I mean, the Heat have been battling through injuries to Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, Lowry all season long, and they've just continued to win.
Yeah, and it's not like a small market team, so I don't know why they don't get media love. Maybe it's just like their players and like,
or they just think
Jimmy Butler doesn't care about like media. Bam doesn't either. They just want to win.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat culture is just one of a kind. I just hope they. I mean, they're definitely better than they were last year. I know they got destroyed by the Bucks in the first round, but I mean, with home court advantage sitting at the one seed, I think it's going to be hard for them to lose that one seed just because I feel like they're playing so well right now. I think they've won like 8 of their last 10, or 9 of their last 10. They're on a 4-game win streak. So, I mean, it's going to be hard for them to kind of fumble that one seed, I feel like. So if they can ride into the playoffs with the one seed home court advantage, they should have. I mean, as long as they don't have to play Brooklyn round one.
Yeah, and one of the offseason acquisitions that, like, I feel like doesn't get talked about a lot is the Lowry addition, which, like, I know Lowry's not the most flashy point guard or anything, but he's such a winning player and fits alongside this Heat team perfectly that I think that's a big reason why they have been, like, so improved this year. And once playoffs come and people start paying attention to this team, I think people will start recognizing, like, how big of a piece Lowry is to this Heat team. And, like, this team really does have, like, not a big, like, they have four really good players with, like, tiers to it, but Lowry's like in that tier probably with Tyler Hero, and then Bam and Jimmy are like,
yeah. And I feel like Tyler Hero's also just been such a big reason why they're winning, because I mean, his ability to just score off the bench is just like something that this team needs, because I mean, Jimmy's not like gonna go out there and like is a go-to scorer, and neither is Bam or Kyle Lowry. So like having Tyler Hero to help like create shots and just come off the bench and be a good player has just been huge, and his improvement's been huge for this team.
Yeah, it's going to be huge in the postseason for him to be able to put the ball in the basket, because when like the playoffs comes and the game slows down and every defense is like locked in, the Heat don't have like a ton of guys to go to create off the dribble. Like, Jimmy can score, obviously, and Lowry can get a bucket, but like they need
guys. I feel
guys.
Like even in their bubble like finals run, I feel like Hero played super good in that like bubbles playoffs and just on, in that run. And he was like a big reason in why they had success in the bubble.
Yeah, and then last postseason he was pretty bad against the Bucks, and I think that's a big reason why they didn't stand a chance in that series. All right. Well, we got to move along. I feel like we've been running on these topics pretty long. I just wanted to give a shout out to Markelle Fultz with his return on the show. He was out for like 14 months with his ACL injury, and two nights ago he returned against the Pacers. He put up 10 points in 15 minutes, shooting 71%. He had 6 assists and 1 turnover. And I know that everybody wants to call this kid a bust, but he probably shouldn't have been the number one pick with what his like game looks like compared to players like Jason Tatum and other guys in the draft class. But I really believe Markelle Fultz can still be like a really, really good starting point guard in this league. And just his game back, I was watching, and he is like such a smart point guard and such a good passer. And he had a reverse layup that was like showed his athleticism. He still is like a solid mid-range shooter. And last year, I was looking at his stats, and last year he shot 90% from the free throw line, which is like, that's like one of the best numbers in the NBA. So if that he can take that, I feel like that's a good like testing point for like if you can become a good three-point shooter, which he's not. He's a bad three-point shooter, and he has been his whole career. But hopefully with like more work at his three-point shot, because in college he was a good three-point shooter, and if he can become like a 35% three-point shooter or just like around average, he's going to become a really good point guard, and I'm pretty sure of that. But I just wanted to give him a shout out. I don't know if you have anything to say about Markelle, but that's all I have to say.
I mean, yeah, just looking back at the 2017 NBA draft, I mean, he was kind of one of those prospects that, like, near, like, draft day, he kind of, like, skyrocketed in, like, terms of people, like, teams liking him. And then Philly made that trade to get him. And I feel like maybe that put a lot of pressure like on his back, because I mean, having a team that wanted you that bad to like give up future assets to get you, I feel like is a lot of pressure. And then, I mean, he just had that weird situation with his shoulder, or like they didn't know what was wrong with him. And the fans just kind of got impatient. It was just a bad situation to like begin with. And I feel like in Orlando, like just getting a new home is always good. And I feel like it's been good for Markel. And he's been good since he's gotten to Orlando. And like you said, he hasn't been able to shoot the ball his whole NBA career. But I mean, his playmaking's super good. And I mean, if he can average like 10-6, which he just put up in his first game, I feel like he can be a quality basketball player in the NBA and a good, I mean, starting level point guard.
Yeah, and he put up 10-6 in 15 minutes because he was on a minutes restriction. So I'm excited to watch him the last 20 games of the season to see if he can like bump that up to like 15-8 or something with more minutes and more opportunity. And Orlando isn't going to hold anybody back from showing what they can do, because there's a bunch of young guys losing games and trying to get better. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely haven't watched a lot of Markel Fultz, but from what I've seen, he doesn't seem bad. And I know you're high on him because he's on your fantasy team. So hopefully you can make some.
He's on my fantasy team because I wanted him to be.
Some contributions to your family team or fantasy team at some point.
Yes, sir. So we have two more topics to talk about, but I feel like we don't have to. Do you want to talk about the Pacers or the Lakers?
I mean, I feel like we've talked about the Pacers a lot recently.
Yeah, with Haliburton. Yeah, let's talk about the Lakers, because they are. I know they get a lot of media buzz, but right now they deserve it with how many games they're losing. I don't think they've won a game since after All-Star break. And last night, they decided to lose another game to the Mavericks. And they were up like by 5 points. Like, I think they were up like 100-95 with like 5 minutes to go. And then they ended up only scoring like 103 or something. Let me go look at the score. But their offense just like forgets how to play when it like in crunch time. And they're just a mess out there sometimes. It's like impossible to even watch sometimes. I know that you think like you don't think they're gonna do anything in the playoffs, do you? Or if they get there.
I mean, people always say like you don't want to see LeBron and AD in a series together just because like how good they can be. But when you watch the Lakers, I feel like everyone's just standing and like watching the ball. There's no like off-ball movement, which is hard to create open looks, and you're just kind of like going one-on-one and then kicking out, going one-on-one, kicking out. And you're not really like, they're not getting a lot of open looks most of the time. And then, like you said, they always make like that third quarter run and make it seem like they're about to like make it a ball game. And then in the fourth quarter, they just like forget how to play. And it's like that thing, like when players join LeBron, they just kind of like forget how to play basketball and like don't play as good as they did previously, and it's just like so weird.
Yeah, last night they had 17 points in the fourth quarter, which is turning into like a usual thing. Like when the game slows down and like in crunch time, there's just nothing going on in their offense, and it's just like they run the shot clock down and take a contested shot, and it's just really hard to watch. I don't know. I don't think their additions of DJ Augustine and Winnie and Gabriel are going to do anything. Like, DJ's a solid, like, scoring Shooter. Point guard, but
yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a plus in any way against any team, other team's backup point guard. I just don't see this team competing against like a, at this point they're going to be playing the Warriors Suns or Grizzlies in the first round. And I definitely don't think they're beating the Warriors or Suns if both teams are healthy. Maybe they beat the Suns if Chris Paul's out, but yeah.
I mean, then you have to look at them and just like, will AD be back like before the playoffs? Because like I know like last week his injury like timeline got extended to 4 to 6 weeks. Like even from that time, and he's been out for like 2 weeks already. So like, I like the question is like, does he get back before playoff time? Because I mean, they're gonna need him for sure. Like they're definitely not doing any. I don't even think they're making the playoffs without AD. So like, they need him for those play-in games, and then you just have to see what happens from there.
Yeah, and right now their play-in game would be against the Pelicans, and they're like, the Pelicans are in their last 10 are 6-4, and they're playing really solid basketball. They just beat the Lakers by like 30 a few nights ago. And if they get fully healthy and they get Zion back, that team's like going to be really scary too. So I think play-in will be like, that's what the Lakers got to start looking at. I don't think they can look at the playoffs because they got a